This is a sermon in three stories. The first story is one of my family's favorites. It comes from a picture book that we read often in our house. It is a family favorite that receives much reading. It's called The Quiltmaker's Gift. Have any of you read The Quiltmaker's Gift? A few of you? Oh, good. I'm glad I get to introduce a few more to this wonderful book. I'll hold it up as I read it. I'm not going to, show the pictures and everything. I trust that you can go to the library and borrow it, and I know Carolyn would love to sell you a copy in the bookstore. Once upon a time, there was a spoiled and unhappy king. He had so many things that his servants kept lists of all the lists of the things that he owned. And yet, despite all of his extravagant wealth, he knew no joy, and he never smiled. Meanwhile, there lived on a nearby mountain a quilt maker who created quilts of such extraordinary beauty that people thought she had magic in her fingers. When she finished one of her gorgeous quilts, she would sneak into town and wander around at night until she found someone sleeping outside in the cold. And she would wrap that person up in one of her gorgeous quilts and then tiptoe quietly away. Now the king heard of the quilt maker's extraordinary talents, and he imagined that one of her quilts would be the thing at last that would offer him the happiness that he desperately yearned for. But when he found her and commanded her to make him a quilt, she refused. "My quilts are only for the poor and needy, and you, sir, are neither." But she made the king a bargain. "Every time you make a present of one of your many possessions, I will add a piece to your quilt. And when at last all of your things are gone, your quilt will be finished." Now, at first, quite predictably, this idea enraged the king, and he unsuccessfully, and in the story quite hilariously, tries to imprison her several times in order to force her to make him a quilt. But eventually, because nothing succeeds, he gives up and agrees to at least try out her idea. His first miserly gift is of a single marble. But the boy who receives it is so grateful and so happy that the king decides to go back for a few more things. Slowly, as he began to empty his treasure rooms of all of his possessions, he discovered that they were replaced by a joy that he had never before known. Meanwhile, true to her word, for each gift the king gave away, the quilt maker added a piece to his quilt. And eventually, years and years later, the quilt maker came to find him, bearing the most magnificent quilt anyone had ever laid eyes on. And she presented it to the king, who had once been extremely rich in things and poor in spirit, and who was now extremely poor in things, but rich in spirit. The second story this morning deals with a man very similar to that king. But instead of living in a fairy tale land, this young man lived in first century Palestine. He was a wealthy young man, and he had many fine things. And yet he was unhappy and unfulfilled. He was also deeply religious, and so for years he had worked hard to keep all of the commandments because he believed that he wanted to please God and he wanted to earn God's favor. And yet still, he felt like something was missing. Something more transcendent. Something that would finally at last give him the sense of peace and fulfillment that he lacked. Well, one day this young man heard that a traveling rabbi was in town. a rabbi who was renowned for his profound wisdom and holiness. And so the young man decided to seek out this rabbi in order to see if he might have some advice on where to find whatever that thing is that he missed so desperately in his life. And approaching the rabbi as he passed through town, he asked, "Good teacher, good rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now the rabbi, who seems to have not really been paying much attention in that moment to the young man, rattled off a few of the commandments, perhaps thinking that a simple reminder of all of the basics was all that was required in order to put this seeker back on track. But the young man, of course, was already diligently keeping the commandments, and he told the rabbi so, which prompted the rabbi to look at the man, to really notice him. And in that moment, the rabbi was filled with extraordinary love for him. And looking that young man squarely in the eye, the rabbi said, "You're right. You are missing something, something important. Go, sell all of your possessions and give the money away, and then come back and follow me." Well, this was not the wisdom or the guidance that the young man was expecting or hoping for, I'm sure. And so he walked away from the rabbi disappointed and sad and pondering his many fine things. Now, as far as endings go, this second story, it seems much less satisfying than the first. Actually, I used to think that this second story's ending was pretty depressing because it seems like the young man rejects Rabbi Jesus' invitation. But the truth is that the second story doesn't really end at all. We don't know what happens after the young man walks away. We don't know what he decides to do when he gets home, or the next day, or the next year. It is a story without an ending. Now, I've been thinking a lot about these two stories this past week and how much in common I believe we have with the king from the Quiltmaker's Gift and the young man from Mark's Gospel. We are 21st century Americans, which means we are the richest people who have ever lived on the face of the earth. Now, it is true, we are not all rich in the same way. Some of us are indeed struggling just to get by. Some of us are middle or upper middle class, and some of us are truly extremely wealthy by modern standards. But in comparison with the world, we are comfortable, and we are prosperous, and we are possessors of more things than any society in history. To play with the central metaphor of our stewardship season, our apples are so big, they would take first prize at the fair. And yet, like the king, quite often we struggle to find happiness. Like the rich young man, sometimes it feels, nevertheless, like something is missing, something important. And we yearn to know that we will have life beyond this life. Like the quilt maker to the king, and just like he does to that young man, Jesus sees us, and he knows all of this about us. He knows our insecurities and our hopes. He recognizes our pride and our fears. He knows all of it. And he loves us in spite of all of it. Or, perhaps better put, because of all of it. And what's more, despite our many possessions and all of our money and all of our stuff, he knows what it is that we are missing. And he looks at us, and he loves us, and he tells us what to do. Give it away, he says. Give it away. And not because you're a bad person. And not because he wants to test you. And not because you need to be chastised or challenged or reproved. And not because he wants to make your life harder. No. Jesus directs us to give our lives away because, you see, he is God's quilt maker. And he knows that the world is made from the goodness of generosity and grace rather than acquisition and accumulation. He knows that true joy is found in loving and caring for others rather than in indulging and spoiling ourselves. He knows that we only ever really live into our made in the image of God selves when we give our lives away for his sake and for the sake of our neighbors. And he knows all this, you see, because he was there in the beginning. He was there when everything that is first came into existence, and because he is the one through whom all things were made. Give it away, he says. Give it away. So I have one more story for you. Once upon a time, there was a person living in Greater Dallas, Texas, who was hungry for meaning and fulfillment and thirsty to know and serve the Lord. And this person was part of a church called Transfiguration and came to worship there so he could meet and speak with Jesus. Now, she followed the commandments and tried to be as good a person as she knew how, but sometimes she had this feeling that there was more, that something was missing. And then one day he realized, he really understood that Jesus was looking at him, that Jesus could see all of his pride and imperfection and vulnerability, and yet loved him more than anyone else ever has or could or will. And then she heard Jesus say to her, "You are missing one thing. Go, give your life away for my sake. Give your time and your money away. Give your love and your forgiveness away. Give away the very best of yourself for my sake and for the sake of your neighbor. And you will store up treasure in heaven." Now, this third story, just like the story of the rich young man, is unfinished. And it's up to you to finish it. You get to write it with your life. You get to choose how this story ends. So what will your story say? And all of God's people said, "Amen."